for your Alley C today.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin. Got my buddy Sean Broderick with me right now. We're going to talk about a company. In the interest of full disclosure, I have to say two things. Number one, I do not own any shares in this company right now. If I decide to buy shares, which I would imagine I will in the relatively near future, I'll give you 3 days' notice, as I always do, before I take that action. And secondly, Ripatch is a sponsor on our website. What does that mean? That means that if you want to get any information on this company, simply click on their banner. Okay, the boys at Ripatch, specifically Joe and Bill, arranged a trip along with Karen to the property about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. I had to pass on it. That made me very, very sad. But with the upcoming festivities this Saturday, Big Al had to be somewhat concerned about his daughter's wedding, so I was unable to attend that trip. But I know that, Sean, I know that you were there. Now, I have to tell you, going into this, Ripatch is getting a lot of accolades right now from a whole bunch of people. Rick Rule, among others, has endorsed the company rather strongly. Now, I have spoken with Bill and Joe, the co-founders of Ripatch, at length. I am very, very impressed with their credentials. I am very, very impressed with their business plan. What do you think about that?
I think they have one of the strongest teams in that state. I mean, if you want someone to find gold for you in the state of Lake Nevada, you would choose this team, because these guys work for Placer Dome and other companies around there, and they know the geology of the state, they know where the big deposits tend to collect, and they've done a very, very good job of like staking out some very interesting ground, and now they are drilling like crazy. And I like the company a lot. I did not recommend it to my subscribers simply because I'm still waiting for the end of the correction in gold. And also, they do have a thing going on with Newmont, where Newmont can actually claw back 70% of the Wilco project that is currently being drilled by Ripatch. And so that may work out for them. It may not. And it just makes me hesitant about it a bit. But I have to tell you, I mean, I was really impressed with the team. They know what they're doing. They have great projects. They have core samples with visible gold. So they do have a lot of things going right for them.
Well, so the Newmont situation actually then could work to their advantage, if I'm not mistaken, because number one, they're not a one-trick pony. They have a number of significant properties down there. So who knows? The situation with Newmont could just add fuel to the fire, so to speak, by, you know,
sure,
they spend their $20 million and something really happens there, and Ripatch still maintains a 30% interest. I mean, that's not unlike the situation with SilverQuest up in British Columbia. So, I mean, I don't know. Just, I have not been to the property, but I'm not sure how that would change my decision about what you just said. But I don't know. These guys do know what they're doing. There's absolutely no question about that. Describe the properties for us, would you?
First one they took us to is called Jessup. That is in the caldera of an old volcano, and they have three zones on there that are very interesting, have an estimated 500,000 ounces of gold equivalent. Because of the way land is actually parceled out in Nevada, it's a strange situation, because Newmont has this corner of like property that juts right into them, so they'd have to work out a deal with Newmont in order to actually mine it. Now, I should make plain that I don't think Ripatch actually wants to mine any of these things. It's an exploration company. It actually wants to make these properties interesting enough that it'll get someone else interested to actually purchase individual projects or else the whole company. That's really interesting. They are obviously going to just drill that like crazy, and I expect they will build up the ounces there. The next one was Wilco, which is a combination of the old Willard mine and the Colada project, which is right next door. That was mined by a company called Western States that it did the thing that many old miners did, where just mined, you know, the stuff they could see. When they ran out of that, then they wouldn't mine anymore. But if you do some drilling around there, and as we know, Ripatch has some of the best geologists in the business, they know what the structure of that land is. If you do drilling around there, which is what the company has done, it reveals a much larger structure and potentially many, many more ounces, between these two zones. So you put that together. Wilco is the one that Newmont could claw back 70% of, but that could be a real company maker under the right circumstances. Maybe Ripatch can work out a deal with Newmont, and so I just think that one has some really big potential. The third one we went to, which is another great project, and one thing you have to understand about this part of Lake Nevada is you can drive down the road and you'll see a mine over here, a mine over there, an old mine over there. This area is so mineral rich. And Lincoln Hill, which is the third one we went to, that's right over the ridge from the Rochester Silver Mine, which is one of the richest silver mines in Lake Nevada. And it's on the same structure. And so this one is the one with the visible gold flecks in the core samples. It's a rich gold-silver deposit. That one actually had most of my interest. I mean, that's another one that could just be spun off, and, like, I think someone could actually do something with that. Then we went and we checked out other areas like Gold Ridge, a Garden Gate. These are areas where they're like, actively exploring right now, but they haven't actually worked those into actual worked out how they work. However, Garden Gate is right next to a property that is owned by a Barrick. They used to be 4 miles away from like where Barrick is like working. Then they were 2 miles away from where Barrick is working. Now they're 1 mile away from where Barrick is working because Barrick keeps moving the drill pads closer and closer and closer to the Garden Gate project. This, I think, shows the potential that they don't have to go with Newmont. Newmont would be an obvious like thing, but they might go with Barrick instead. So they have a lot going on there, and so they do have so much potential. These are crazy times in, you know, the junior mining space. Anything can happen with the like market and stuff. But I think that if what they want to do falls into place, this company could have a very bright future.
Well, the reason I think that, you know, and this is obviously a forward-looking statement, so you have to take it that way, but with the past experience of Bill, Joe, and the rest of the crew, with their past experience, with their resumes, I mean, I'd have to say, you know, I'd bet on it personally. Now, I'm not telling anybody out there what to do, but I'm just saying, to me, it makes all the sense in the world.
As you said, their resumes are long. These guys have worked all over the world, but especially their experience in the state of Nevada is like crucial on this. They have worked for other companies right in this area, and they know the major geologic trends, they know how these things form, and they know how there are clusters of these minerals in very particular places. And because they know the structural geology so well, I think that really gives them an edge over other exploration teams down there. Now, that doesn't mean other people can't find gold, of course. I mean, this is a very mineral-rich area, as I was saying. I mean, you can hop out of your truck and look around, and you'll see, oh, yeah, there's a mine over there, there's a mine over there, there's a mine over there. It's hard to find a spot that isn't mineral-rich, but, I mean, there are some really rich clusters, really just, like, saturated ground, and I think that's what these guys are, like, working on. Again, it isn't in our portfolio right now because I thought we'd see another leg down in gold. Maybe we won't. Maybe gold is going to head higher, and this stock's so cheap, it's not like I don't have time to chase it. I would prefer not to. So
we'll see
how things go there.
I would agree. I'm looking at a chart right now, and it is, after sinking to a rather significant low under 27 cents, it is moving back. It's moving back significantly right now. So I would have
well,
to say that in my mind that's positive. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just sent the write-up to my subscribers earlier in the week, and so that might have something to do with it because they're not as cautious as I am. They might be looking at like what I wrote up and saying, Sean, are you crazy? Let's just buy the thing. Maybe that's what's happening. So there could be some of that. We just could be seeing the like small cap and the junior explorer a group start to outperform, which is what we are seeing as I speak to you right now. That group is actually doing much better than, say, the big miners. So maybe it's their turn to bring in money and we'll start to see some flow in. Or else maybe it's the fact that this company has some great projects, great team, doing the drilling. It has money to certainly go through next year and maybe beyond that. And so, I mean, they just look like a value. So if people aren't as cautious as I am, I can see why they pick it up.
Okay, there you have it from Sean Broderick. The one place where I disagree slightly with Sean is I do think that we are in an uptrend in the gold and silver markets. Time will tell, and I do see a turnaround in the junior markets that began very, very recently. Okay, Big Al's going to be right back.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plan for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Freeze-dry guy customers take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering freeze-dry guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy 4-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Another company that I have been following for much longer than that, perhaps for 6 or 7 months, and I did buy shares in it, is a company called SilverQuest Resources. I bought shares, as you all know. I bet on people. I'm not a technician. I bet on people. I think I have a pretty good gut-level feeling on regarding folks who run these companies. And I got to tell you, Randy Turner, in my opinion, the president of SilverQuest, is right among the top of the folks who I want to invest in their companies in. SilverQuest has properties both in British Columbia and up in the Yukon. You work in the Yukon right now is kind of grinding to a halt because of the weather up there, but there is going to be a significant amount of news flow coming out of SilverQuest regarding the drilling that they have done, the sampling, I guess I should say, they have done heretofore in the Yukon, and then things continue to really, really go well for the company in British Columbia. Now, my full disclosure is that I do own shares in SilverQuest. I purchased them out of the market. I announced that 3 days before I did it on this particular program. And SilverQuest is also a sponsor on our website. That means you can click on their banner and get all of the information you want. Mr. Grandich, your turn.
Well, full disclosure, too, I've been a compensated consultant to the company now for probably almost 2 years. Presently own a fair amount of shares. And so I guess there's potential conflicts of interest and biases there. But having said that, I think the first thing that came out of your mouth is probably the single most important asset next to the Davison property, and that's the CEO, Randy Turner. You know, Randy Turner has been in this business probably longer than a lot of people, ages, that are listening to this report.
Yeah.
And that combination with a real unique situation being a 25% owner of the Davison really has separated SilverQuest in many instances from most other juniors because they have such a viable asset that many of us concur that its current market price probably not even the full value of what that interest is. So it's a great story with a lot of sizzle, but the key part to SilverQuest, it has one good piece of stake, and that's its interest in the Davison project.
Well, that is going to significantly enhance the value of SilverQuest, and it already has. Peter, you mentioned that these comments were not arm's length, and of course they're not. Both you and I own shares in the company. I really want to stress, you know, I this is not investment advice, not even close. We are just talking about companies that I and my colleagues, like Peter, have an interest in, but I have to say I don't purchase stock in any of these companies until I have first announced it 3 days prior to that time, and my actions are the same on the sell side. I think that that's very important, having said that. Now, the first question I guess I would have is a lot of people would say, well, if the weather is so bad in the Yukon right now, they're not going to be able to do any exploring right now. Why shouldn't I just wait until the spring to take a look at the stock? Because really, in terms of the Yukon, nothing's going to happen until then.
Well, it's a good point, and so is the majority of the British Columbia projects. They're not going to see winter drilling. The difference is, and I guess it's best to start with, to try to have an understanding of the absolute key project in the company, and that's the Davison. It's a 25% interest in a project that New Gold owns 75%. All you have to do is look at New Gold, see what they are doing there, and more importantly, what their CEO has said about this project, calling it its future biggest gold project ever in the history of the company. And when you figure out, and what see some analysts have said about, you know, somewhere's, you know, 4 million to 8 million ounces is what a lot of people are talking about. When you take the 25% interest that Davison, that SilverQuest has, it's that value right now, based on recent takeovers, is worth more than its whole market cap. So, you know, you get all these other things, the Yukon projects, which you're correct, we won't see any new exploration till middle of April, the earliest next year, but these results are going to come in. It's going to take probably 90 to 120 days till we fully oversee it. And usually by February and no later than March, people are already back into those type of plays, getting ready for the season, you know, beginning 2 or 3 months later. So there may be a 90-day window where some of these things may not see as much as if it was continuously drilling. But I don't think it impacts SilverQuest anywhere close as these other pure Yukon plays, and that's because the Davison is not only being drilled all winter, but I think there's something like 6 or 8 drills going on there. So it will have news through the so-called winter months, and that's why I think is another reason why it can stand out versus some other plays, particularly the Yukon plays, which, you know, in my opinion only, the Yukon was more of a bust this year than what many of us thought early in the year we would be. But that's actually going to be extremely beneficial for SilverQuest because they are not only a survivor there, they're a key major player. And so next year we won't have as many companies there. The assay labs won't be as backed up, and I think we'll see that SilverQuest is more of a dominant player. And I say the following also, Al, without any knowledge whatsoever other than know that it might have been briefly discussed months ago, but there's always the possibility based on what New Gold does with the Davison project, whether it takes a run at the 25% interest or not of SilverQuest, that, you know, SilverQuest could look at spinning out projects. It may want to keep the BC projects, including Davison, in the current company and spin out the Yukon or vice versa. But there's a lot of good variables that SilverQuest has going for it. But, you know, one of the best is Randy. I mean, and Randy be the first to admit, he and I have not always seen eye to eye. But one thing I learned now, 2 years dealing with him, his real 40-year-plus experience has really paid dividends for SilverQuest. And that, I think that's another thing that separates SilverQuest from a lot of other players, outstanding top management.
Well, a couple of other things that I want to mention. Number one, you know, getting back to the issue of activity in the Yukon during the wintertime, for the next, I would have to say, 90 to 120 days for that particular period, you're going to see some significant news flow coming out simply from SilverQuest, simply because of all the exploration work that they have done so far up there, point number one. Point number two, I have to echo the fact that you said they're not a one-trick pony. They're not just in the Yukon. This Davison project is a very, very significant asset of the company. And, you know, when you talk about significant assets, they have one of the, you know, getting back to the Yukon just for a second, you got to consider they have one of the largest land positions of any public company up there, Pete.
Well, the other thing also, and people need to know this, and it's no fault of SilverQuest or for that matter, most of the other companies there, the lab situation has been dire. There's just so much stuff backed up, but in a sense that's good news, in a sense that that news is only going to trickle out over the normally slow winter months. So, you know, there's always the possibility that when something comes in, my God, people realize they made a discovery. The bad news is you can't go back there to the middle of April and get to work on that. But like I said, the market tends to discount that, and this is how why also it's not that bad. Basically, the month of December is a dead month. So we probably have about 6 more weeks of active trading here for the year. And then by the time January starts, you know, you got 2 months and suddenly we're at PDAC and anything that might have been come out of news over the winter is going to grab people's attention. So it's not that long of a period where there's so-called quiet time. And one other thing before I forget, we talk about the Davison. There's 2 other projects in the company, both which have potentials of being company makers themselves. The Caboose project and the 3Ts, and there too we are going to see a lot of results from the exploration this year, which could set up, and I just say could, 2012 to be perhaps one of the best times as far as SilverQuest goes when it comes to British Columbia.
Okay, there you have it. Take a look. Stick around. The gal's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Question. When the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer. Yes. If you have top quality survival gear from thesurvivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. Thesurvivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour, and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with thesurvivalzone.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Got a listener by the name of Gundy who has the following question. How about going into the political environment for miners in Argentina a bit? Some Chileans think of Argentina as Italy with Greek politics. Well, I'll tell you, my next guest is someone who has spent an awful lot of time in Argentina, and he has a quasi-regular guest on the program. Hadn't been on for a while, but Brett Cook is a really good guy. He writes a newsletter called Exploration Insights. He is our go-to guy when it comes to finding out about things like this. Brett, talk about Argentina, could you?
Sure, I'd love to. I've spent a lot of time working down there over the past 15 years, so I know it quite well. I will mention that a lot of Argentinians consider Chile the England of South America with English food as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said that, Argentina, the political environment and permitting environment is very province-specific and even, locality-specific. So that's what you've got to keep in mind down there. Certainly, it's a bit bureaucratic, but it is a great place to mine. There are a lot of mines down there, and geologically, the exploration upside and the mining, and that it's a great place to be if you're in the right place. So the question comes down to is what provinces and areas of those provinces are good to be in. Now, you mentioned X-Dory.
Mm-hmm. They're in, right.
Yeah, X-Dory Gold. They're in Santa Cruz province, which is the best province in South America, in Argentina, to be exploring and, you know, putting a mine in production if you're far enough away from the Andes, and they are. So once you're out away from the, you know, the scenic beauty of the Andes into the Patagonian plains, I see no serious issues developing a mine there.
Well, yeah, that was my impression when I was down there. I was down probably 2 years ago. We were shooting some video down there. Very, very interesting trip in the sense that the environment in that particular province struck me as being very, very conducive to mining. And I guess the main reason that I would say that is, number one, the property was somewhat isolated. It was about a two-hour drive from the city. But number two, it was pretty barren, I have to say. There wasn't a lot of environmental issues that I could tell. Now, when you were talking about it depends where in Argentina you are, so I'm assuming, Brett, that the policies among the provinces differ quite a bit. Is that correct?
They do. It comes down to the province. I mean, Mendoza province just outlawed open-pit mining and the use of chemicals, which really has hurt a company called Coro Mining, who's got a porphyry copper deposit there. So that province is probably not a good place to be. Likewise, Chubut, which is in northern Patagonia, has banned the use of cyanide and open pits. Now, that's open-pit things may be changing, but still, that's a province you probably shouldn't be looking for deposits in. But certainly Santa Cruz is a good province, Rioja, et cetera. There's a lot of good places to be looking there.
I guess the question I would ask when you talk about the problems in some of these other provinces, I mean, how assured is it that, for example, the province, let's use where X-Dory Gold is as an example, how assured can people be that they're not going to, you know, switch tracks, so to speak, in midstream?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and the real question is, how assured can you be almost anywhere in the world? This, you know, these issues we're discussing in terms of permitting and the government taking mines or taking bigger pieces of profit is happening in nearly every country. So I would say on that scale, it's no more risky than most places in the world.
You know, it's funny. I've only been to Argentina once, but I did spend a bit of time down there. And I was under the impression, as I was under the impression in Chile, perhaps more so in Chile than Argentina, but not to a great extent, the countries are very, very free market oriented, for lack of better terms. They understand the importance of international trade. They understand the importance of their business environment vis-a-vis the continued growth of the country. And it's really interesting to me, whether you're in Chile, in Santiago, or whether you're in Argentina and Buenos Aires, you almost could be in a European country. Very, very sophisticated and very Western.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think you've hit a point there. Is they are, to a large degree, I think, freer in a lot of Latin American countries in terms of less regulated than we are here in the States or in European countries. It's a shame to say that, but that's sort of what's happened over the past 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very interesting how that whole thing has evolved. So basically, you would say that the political environment in Chile, in terms of environmental issues, in terms of other mining issues, you say that if the province that the company has an asset is a province that is mining friendly, then there's nothing to worry about. And you're going on and you're saying, kind of, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you're saying the odds of that changing, sure, it's a possibility, but somewhat unlikely given the business philosophy down there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's always a possibility, but I think it's reasonably safe certainly in the Santa Cruz province in Argentina.
Let's switch over. We've got about 3 minutes left here. Let's switch over a little bit to the mining environment in Chile. I mean, so we've got a real pretty good handle right now on the support in or lack thereof in Argentina. But would you say, as a general statement, the environment in Chile is perhaps a little bit more conducive to mining overall?
Yeah, indeed it is. It's a much bigger portion of their, their GDP and such. It's been a mining-friendly country now for 30-odd years. And they understand mining, and they've got the rules and regulations in place so that you know the processes that need to be gone through to explore, develop, and build a mine. So, yeah, Chile is a reasonably easier and better place to be exploring and developing a mine, provided you've got water. Water's going to be a bigger and bigger issue there because, it's, you know, most of the deposits are in or above the Atacama Desert, and there's not much water. So that's a key question to ask a company that's looking to develop a mine down there is, do you have water rights?
Yeah, and if they do, they're okay. But in terms of the political environment, for lack of better terms, you're saying that that's probably okay. I'm going to go north because we have a client also who that has a property up in Brazil. Talk to me about the environment in Brazil for mining.
I think Brazil is probably the best country in South America to be exploring and developing a mine. It's a very modern country in terms of infrastructure, in terms of their mining and regulation permits and permitting process. I think Brazil is a great place to be exploring and developing mines.
I would have to say that the only experience I've had in Brazil is with our client, which is a company called Amarillo Gold, and it's a group of guys, expats, for lack of better terms, from Rio Tinto, and very, very highly qualified guys, and they're pretty comfortable down there. They're saying that everything is really pretty good. So kind of in summary then, Argentina, Chile, Brazil, they're okay places to be. Any other countries come to mind?
That are okay or not okay?
That are okay.
I think Peru is fine.
Yeah.
I think Guyana is fine. It's gotten better. They're still working. They still aren't to the point where their mining regulations and permitting process and that is smooth and well thought out. So that's, you know, it's a bit of a burden or a slow on things. But Colombia is all right as well.
Yeah, I know that. Your friend of mine, Frank Holmes, is very, very keen on Colombia. He spent a fair amount of time down there. We've actually done a fair amount of radio with Frank talking about his experiences in Colombia, along with former President Bill Clinton, and then, of course, Frank Fuster. He said, but he feels very, very optimistic about what's going on there. I don't know. I have to tell you, I would agree with your assessment that developing a mining situation in South America oftentimes can make a lot more sense than developing a mining situation in the United States. You know, it seems that we have trouble in some cases getting out of our own way. Now, that certainly isn't true in Idaho, and it certainly isn't true in places like Arizona and Nevada. But I don't know if I'd want to be a startup miner in the state of California. I can almost guarantee that I wouldn't. Listen, if you guys want to find out more about what Brett does, click on the banner. He's at the top of our list on our homepage. He's a good guy. You can take what he says to the bank, and by that I mean you can trust him. Brett, thanks so much, buddy.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought a woman with me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Take it too much coffee.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
This guy,
Why don't women live yet?
Life Before the Collapse by The Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Carlin Economics Report Time. Now, Carlin, got my buddy Trader Raj with me right now. You know, Raj and I were talking earlier in the week, and we decided to go ahead and record a segment on what's going on in Europe for a couple of reasons. Number one, precious metals began an upward movement a week ago Wednesday, okay? And we've been talking about that on this program, and that certainly is the way I felt about it when it started, and I continue to feel that same way. About a week after the market started to go up, it was interesting. On Wednesday specifically, the 12th of October, what was that, 2-3 days ago, gold continued to go up. The headline in Market Watch was gold futures increase based on more of a solidifying in a positive sense the European situation. Well, obviously, one would think that perhaps people are moving into gold away from the U.S. dollar because they realize perhaps that the euro maybe won't be such a bad place to be after all. I think the jury is really out on that. I think precious metals, you know, at the risk of beating a dead horse, I think precious metals is very definitely a good place to be. Is the euro a good place to be? Boy, right now, I don't know. Raj, what are your thoughts about the situation with Ms. Merkel and Sarkozy?
Well, initially, for several weeks, months ago, she was against extending any more credit to anybody because she was trying to protect the German people who and their hard-earned money, which was a very noble idea, and I agreed with her. For a long time, she's been in the fly in the ointment of any kind of an agreement that the French and some others wanted to put forth. But what's happened now is they have come up with another idea relative to this ESFS bond credit plan, and we've talked about that in the past in the letter on radio and television, and what that is they're going to issue bonds against the European Central Bank, which has no standing or assets as far as I can see, but people are going to buy it and believe it, in my view, because they're grasping at straws. What does that mean? The banks can't really raise capital because their stock is knocked down. The European banks, they've got a lot of bad loans. They've got hot water right up to their eyeballs.
So what they need is a credit facility underneath the balance sheet in the banks. And this is going to provide that. It's not going to be a direct handout of cash or a direct handout of raised capital. But what it's going to do is give them credit, and that credit is going to underpin their balance sheet. Then they can rearrange some deck chairs on the balance sheet. And what it does is it cools things off for a while. The ESFS and the European Central Bank Facility will then issue some bonds as required by country. They'll do that in a ratio probably as to need number one. That was the way it was set up. If somebody got in trouble and they couldn't borrow money, they were supposed to ask for it, and then the European Central Bank would come with something to help. Now, this ESFS deal, that is what is coming to help, and I think they're going to buy it. And not only that, but a few days ago, Mrs. Merkel said, we needed until November 1 to get this all done because it's very complicated. But then a few days ago on Wednesday, she said, we are now prepared to have this thing nailed down and signed on October 23rd. So we find that very interesting. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to get sold. There'll be a big media hype, and then the markets are going to take off and rock and do very well on the upside, including precious metals, commodities, stocks, and just about anything else that's traded. Now, the next thing is that Bernanke is watching very carefully. He does not want to issue a new QE3 or say that he's doing it. Consequently, if Mrs. Merkel's thing goes through and works beautifully and lifts the markets, Bernanke's not going to have to come out with a QE3. He can leave that last tool in his toolbox for next year when I foresee he will surely need it.
Next year. Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point. I wonder, though, when you talk about the perception of the world economy getting more optimistic, I question why you think that would raise the gold and silver prices.
Well, what's going to raise the gold and silver prices is, first of all, the stuff got oversold. You got a technical situation based on technicals and some other fundamentals, too, where gold hit a base here last week. During the week, I was saying we have to get a breakout above 1685. Gold was trading, as you recall, from 1665 to 1685. Then on Wednesday, it actually broke through 1685 and went as high as 1693.50. It did come back under on Wednesday, the 1685, but things are shaping up nicely. The junior shares are starting to move up. People are looking at gold and gold-related shares as an opportunity, also along with silver.
Well, no question about that, but I just wonder if a certain amount of a certain sigh of relief, I guess is a better way to put it, isn't going to come out if the situation in Europe looks like it's going to become resolved. You know, and then something else that came out this past week that I think could possibly be bearish long term for gold and silver, and that is a recent poll that U.S. News and World Report put out shows that either Herman Cain, Rick Perry, or Mitt Romney could all beat the president if the election were held today. Now, that I find to be really, really interesting. Now, the reason I find that to be interesting is I mentioned about 8 or 9 months ago that the only reason that I could see gold going down in value, okay, in the relatively near future would be perhaps if, as a result of the 2012 elections, the perception of the United States economy got significantly better. I said, I think that perhaps could be a catalyst for a decrease in the price of gold. What does Roger Wiegand say about that?
Well, you know, I think there's always potential for that, Al, but you're looking at 11 solid years of fundamentals which say that things are going the wrong way historically for years, and the only way out of this thing is with precious metals having real value. All currencies are fiat currencies. We found out recently, in a week or two ago, Swiss franc, which was appeared to be one of the premium top blue chip currencies, their money got too expensive, and the Swiss Central Bank just came out and said, look, we can't deal with this. It's ruining our economy. Thereby, we're going to cap the Swiss franc at 120. It went down to 110, but a few days ago, it's back up at 11, 112 again. Why is that? Because people are selling euros, and they're buying yen. That's cooling off, too, but they're back to buying the Swiss franc, and they're buying hard assets. You've got a short-term picture and a long-term picture, and there is some overlap and tugging and pulling in both directions. But fundamentally, I think in the long pull, precious metals are going to win.
Well, I'm not sure I would disagree with that because, I mean, nobody is more of a believer in precious metals as an insurance policy, store of value, whatever you want to call it, than I am. But I still think that if the perception of the economic situation in Europe gets to a point and stays at a point where people feel that it's not a, you know, that everything is going to be okay over there. And number two, if President Obama either A, comes up with a miraculous plan, which I don't see happening, or B, he doesn't win re-election and one of the front runners, Kane Romney or Perry, happen to get it, then I think there's a possibility that at least the upward trend in the price of gold perhaps may either slow down or level out a bit. Because I'm a fundamentalist, Raj, and that's what it tells me. What does it tell you? You got 45 seconds left and the final word.
These elections are turning into a big joke, not only in the U.S. but throughout the world. And many people are looking through them. They're seeing what they really are. And it's just more of the same. It doesn't matter whether we have Obama elected or somebody else. The die is cast. The credit of the United States has fallen. The bonds and the dollar are going down. The bond markets are failing worldwide. China's now having their problems. It's despite being a command and control communist country, they've got the same capitalist problems in their economy as others do. So the trends are not going to change. Doesn't matter who sits in the White House.
Well, it doesn't matter who sits in the White House. I think it does matter what the perception of the economic situation is over here, and also what the perception of the economic situation is in Europe. I think I'm pretty convinced that that's what's been driving the market. But, you know, you may find this hard to believe, but I've been wrong before, only about 1,000 times in all my years, maybe even over 1,000, so I don't know. Hey, listen, you guys, got to take a break for the news at the top of the hour here. Big Al's going to be back with you right after the break. Stick around.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.